Good morning. Welcome back. We are the first word of Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph and the Ein Yaakov Vavar on page Kuf Zayin. Inhu Adife Mine. They, Chagai Zachariah Malachi, were greater than he, Daniel. Ve'ihu Adif Minayhu. And he is greater than they. Inhu Adifu Mine. They are greater than he, Inhu Nevi'e Ve'ihu Lo Navi, because they are Nevi'im. And he, Daniel, was not a Navi. We discussed at length whether that means Daniel was never a Navi, or on this occasion Daniel was not experiencing Nevuah, or Daniel was a Navi but it was not sent with Nevuah. If you paid attention to the Torah last Shabbos, you saw Hashem told Yirmiyahu, I created you for this very purpose of being a Navi. We don't find anything like that by Daniel. Ve'ihu adif minayhu, but he was greater than they. De'ihu chaza, because he saw this vision. Ve'inhu lo chazu, and they did not see this vision. Ve'chi me'achard lo chazu, and if they did not see the vision, my time ibaut, why were they frightened by it? Or why were they frightened? Afagav de'inhu lo chazu, mazlaihu chazi. Even though they did not see, their mazel saw. Amar Ravina. Ravina said, Shma mina hayman demibayit. Ravina says, you see that if a person is afraid, doesn't know why. Afagav di'u lo chazi, even though he doesn't see, mazle chazi, his mazel sees. Okay, we'll stop there. And Rashi doesn't say much about this Gemara because, according to Rashi, it doesn't actually belong here. And he says, in most Sfarim, it's not present. It's word for word the same as a Gemara in Megillah, which follows in Megillah, it follows from the previous Gemara. And so perhaps a scribe put it in here by mistake. So if we want to know what it means, we can look at Rashi in Megillah. And we close this farm, finish with him. So Rashi in Megillah says, Mazlaihu, what is this mazel that sees what a person doesn't see? Sar shel kol adam lamala. It's the sar, which we usually translate as the guardian angel, or the representative of each person above. It's Rashi at Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. In Masechet Shabbos, we find discussing halachos of kamios, of amulets, on Shabbos. Mar says, Amar Mar, the lo b'kamia af pishu mucheh. A person may not go out on Shabbos wearing an amulet, even if it's an expert amulet. The Gemara and halacha just define what does it mean, an expert amulet. That's not our concern for now. But we learn the Mishnah, that you cannot go out with an amulet that's not an expert amulet. That implies that you can go out with an amulet that is an expert amulet. So the Gemara says, here too, it's talking about not an expert one. The Gemara says, but what do you mean it's not an expert amulet? The Gemara said it is an expert amulet. Why are you changing it? So the Gemara answers, it's an amulet that works on people and doesn't work on animals. Is there such a thing as an amulet that works on people and not on animals? In, yes, Adam to eat le mazla, person who has a mazle, it helps him. Vema de le mazla, animals don't have a mazle. Lo mesayele, it doesn't help him. So Rashi says, what is a mazel? Mazle malach shelo umelitzalav. It's a person's malach who advocates for him in Shemayim. Everybody has, putting these two Rashis together, everybody has a malach above who is his advocate, his representative, and advocates for him. Once we... talking about malachim who advocate for us, so that is enough of an excuse. to talk about a controversy that spanned 1,000 years, so at least, and even to this day, there are different opinions about one of the slichos that we say every day during Elul and Aseres Metshuvah, towards the end, after Tachanun. People are hurrying, so some people might never have noticed this one. But it says, Machnisei Rachamim, the article translates, O you who usher in pleas for mercy, Machnisei Rachamim l'fnei Baal Rachamim, may you usher in our plea for mercy before the Master of Mercy. Mashmi'ei Tfilah, O you who cause prayer to be heard, Hashmi'u Tfilatenu, may you cause our prayer to be heard before the hearer of prayer. O you who cause outcry to be heard, may you cause our outcry to be heard before the hearer of outcry. Now, you can't tell from the English because the word you is plural and singular, but in Hebrew it's plural. We're not talking to Hashem to take in our tfilos to himself, but it's plural. Machnisei rachamim, those plural who take in rachamim, take in our pleas for rachamim before the Baal rachamim, before Hashem. We seem to be praying to the angels to take our tfilos into Hashem. And this is very controversial. In the journal Yeshurun,
controversial what it means, controversial that we say.
All of the above. Should we say, as we'll see, there are those who said not to say it at all, and there are those who said it's okay to say it because it's not talking about angels, you misunderstood it. And we'll see two other interpretations. And there are those who say it means angels, and it's perfectly okay to be making requests from angels. I'm sure we all did it last Friday night. Baruchuni l'shalom, malachei ha-shalom. Right? We invite the angels into our house, and then we ask them to bless us. In the journal Yeshurun, if you can call a 700-page hardcover book a journal, but it is a journal that comes out twice a year, and in volume Gimel, there's an article about this subject, and he lists here 22 places in Slichos alone, and Yamim Noraim davening alone, where we make requests from angels. Some of them are in different versions. They're not all in every version of Slichos, but some of them be familiar. Shloshesrei midot hamurot b'chanina na kol midah nechona chali malkeich b'tchina. The 13 midos, attributes of mercy, which are said with pleading, each one of you go pray to the king. We're asking the Yud Gimel midos of Rachamim to go daven to Hashem. Or similarly, Hashem Hashem kerachum chanun midat rachamim ha'leinu hitgalguli. We say this in Slichos and also in the Ila. We're asking the Yud Gimel midos to daven for us. Malachei Rachamim Mesharte Elyon, angels of mercy who serve the one above. Chaluna Pnei Kelb Meitav Higayon, go use your good words to plead before Hashem.
It's also in Slichos for Ahab, I think.
Could be. And all of these were written by Gaonim or Rishonim, early Rishonim. Okay. A little history lesson or review would be in order. After the period of the Gemara was Talmud Bavli was finished in about the year 475 of the Common Era. Then there's a period that we know very little about called the Rabbanan Savarai. It lasted about 100 years. And then there's a period of the Gaonim, which lasts until the year 1038. And the Gaonim at that time, Torah learning was still pretty much centered in Bavel. You start to see people in other places like Rabbeinu Hananel and a few others, but for the most part, Torah learning was centered in Bavel. Today, we know a lot more about that period, but throughout much of the last 1,000 years, when this controversy is taking place, the writings of the Gaonim were not known. And as we'll see, they very strongly advocated this practice of making requests from angels. Many of those who attacked it did not have access to the writings of the Gaonim, which is a whole separate discussion of what impact do newly discovered manuscripts have on halacha. There are those who argued very strongly that it should not have any impact. The Chazon Ish, for example, because halacha, process of halacha is a process of debating with your contemporaries and your recent predecessors, and if a writing is discovered that was lost for 1,000 years, it wasn't vetted by 1,000 years of scholarship, and we don't pay any attention to it. That's it does play a role here to some extent. So after he brings these 21 or 22 examples from Slichos and Yamim Norim davening, brings examples from other occasions as well, like Shalom Aleichem that we say on Friday night, Barchuni l'shalom, Malachei Shalom, bless me for peace, angels of peace, Malachei Elyon, the angels of the one above. In Ben Shein we say, Bamarom yilamdu aleihem v'aleinu zechut. In heaven, may they speak merit of us. Who's they? Presumably the angels. There's a Gemara which says that before you go into the bathroom, you should say, Shamruni, Shamruni, Azruni, Azruni, Samchuni, Samchuni. You speak to the angels who accompany a person. Nowadays, we don't do this. And towards the end of this presentation, which will take 2 or 3 days, we'll talk about why we don't do that anymore nowadays. But Gemara says you should ask the angels to wait for you and guard you and help you. So he brings 10 examples of this type. Another one is the Yiratzon that's printed in many machzorim during shofar blowing before Musaf. After each set, there's a paragraph which in some versions, there are different versions of it, in some versions we talk to angels. So that also would be part of the same controversy. So it seems to be very prevalent in our davening. The question is, should it be, and what does it mean? Where does it come from? So this paragraph Machnisei Rachamim, which is where most of the discussion centers on, where we at the end of Slichos we ask the angels to take our prayers into Hashem, appears in Seder Rav Amram. Rav Amram was a Gaon. He died he was in that period of the Gaonim in Bavel. He died in 875. During that time, he got a letter from Jews in the Western Mediterranean saying, send us a siddur. We don't know how to daven. And he wrote down one of the first siddurim, and he sent it, he mailed it out. So Machnisei Rachamim appears there. However, we don't have his original manuscript, and we don't know what was in his original manuscript. So especially regarding the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Slichos, all of that, there's a lot of debate whether this is part of his original version or not. So did Rav Amram Gaon say Machnisei Rachamim more than 1,000 years ago? We don't know, even though it appears in versions of his Siddur nowadays. However, the last Gaonim, Rav Shrira Gaon and his son Rav Hai Gaon, clearly did say it. We have in the Tshuvos HaGaonim, there's a set, this big, arranged according to Gemara, the writings of the Gaonim that we have found, arranged as a commentary to the Gemara. It's called Otsar HaGaonim, or Tshuvos HaGaonim. So in Masechet Tanis, which is the Masechet that talks about praying for rain, Rav Shvira Gaon and Rav Hai Gaon apparently jointly write in response to a question. The question was,
what should we do when we don't have rain? And they describe what they do when they don't have rain and how they fast and they daven a longer Shemoneh Esrei like the Gemara describes in Masechet Tanis to daven when there's rain. And they would actually say Slichos in multiple places in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. And they say V'naflin Tzibura Alan Pehon. The Tzibur would fall on their face, say Tachanun. This is all in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Levasof in the end. V'kaimin Araglayon Kedelo Mitmar Mechnisi Rachamim. And then they would get up on their feet before they say Mechnisi Rachamim. And then later, after Shemoneh Esrei, that was in one of the brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, after Shemoneh Esrei, V'nachtin V'rachamei V'tachanunei Levater Hachin. Afterwards, we fall down in pleading for mercy and begging, V'amrin V'atrehon, and afterwards we say again, Machnisei Rachamim. And they conclude, Ilein Minhaga Dilana, this is our custom, V'tadira Hachin Ragilna Mimei Avotein Rishonim, and we are accustomed to do this often from the days of our fathers, the early ones, the Adayin, and still, V'hachin Anhigu Yatanim Shemaya, this is what we've been led to do from heaven, Shalobis Chutenu, not in our merit, Ela Bechasadav, in God's kindness, Bechasadav Shel Makom, in the kindness of Hashem, V'zchut Avot, and the merit of our fathers, V'kadavidna Kesidra Dinan L'mahadri Yatanim Reikan, and when we have done this, we have never come back empty-handed. Seems to be saying every single time we do this, it rains. Af atun avidu hachin leitot, but Sarah, you too should do this in times of trouble. Bekumu kamei shemaya, belev nachon, get up before heaven with a proper heart. Bekiru levavchem, or prepared heart. Bekiru levavchem, and tear your hearts. Beshivchu levavchem, and pour out your hearts kamaim, like water. V'samichna berachamana, and rely on God, the Lohadrijun Rekam, that you will not come back empty-handed, and you will have miracles. And part of this order of prayer that they're advocating that has never come back empty-handed, and if you do it and rely on Hashem, you will never come back empty-handed, is to say Machnise Rachamim twice, which doesn't answer the question, how is it that we pray to angels, but clearly they, or make requests of angels, but clearly that's what they're advocating. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis, Amud Beis, says, is a famous Gemara, which we'll see over and over again in this discussion, says, L'olam al yishal adam tzrachah b'lashon Aramaic. A person should not make his requests in Aramaic, because the angels don't understand Aramaic. So Gemara says, who cares if the angels don't understand Aramaic? We're davening to Hashem. So, in the Tshuvos of Gaonim, this is from the year, he says here, the year 1303, which is a reference to the years of Alexander the Great, what's called Minyan Shtaros, the count for contracts, which started from the year from the reign of Alexander the Great, and this equals 992 of the Common Era. So again, it's in the time of Rav Shvira Gaon and his son Rav Hai Gaon. And so they say, I'm going to read large excerpts of this tshuva. The question that was asked is, what do you mean a person should not pray? And this was sent to the city of Kairouan, which I think is in Algeria. I'm not 100% sure. I forgot to look it up. But what do you mean that we shouldn't daven Aramaic? We do it all the time. Apparently, they had lots of prayers in Aramaic in those days. So, Rav Shvira Gaon and or Hai Gaon answer. Hachin chazina dahachi kama Rav. This is what Rav is saying when he said, "Don't daven in Aramaic." Milta de taba adam minim al chesheret al yishal b'shan Aramaic. If you are asking something from the angels, don't ask the angel. Don't ask in Aramaic. And Rabbi Yochanan explains, because angels don't speak Aramaic, don't understand Aramaic. But if you're asking Hashem, then you can ask in any language. Seems to be two different things. Asking things from angels and asking things from Hashem. And according to the Gaonim, this is perfectly okay and perfectly normal thing to do, to ask things from angels. Why? Sheyesh kama dvarim shamalachim osim bahem lefum. There are things that angels can do according to their discretion. They do not need permission from God. That's why we write amulets and we say names of angels, like in the Yehi Ratzon's after shofar blowing that are found in many machzorim, so that the angels will help. And we find this explicitly in Tanakh. V'kamar Yaakov ha-malach ha-goel. Yaakov Avinu said, we say every night, Kriya Shema Lamita, ha-malach ha-goel oti mikol ra, the angel who redeemed me from all bad. So Yaakov seems to be attributing this to an angel. And similarly in Yishayahu, amar u-malach panav hoshiyam. It says the malach saved them. So, he's interpreting it that it is. We'll see others who will disagree. In the previous pasuk, he referred to Hashem, and so others interpreted it as the angel that Hashem sent to help me. But that's not how they're interpreting it. These are the Gaonim. They're not, you know.
Well, because
go ahead.
If the angel didn't have discretion, then it wouldn't help to say anything anyway. So clearly, by the fact that you're talking to the angel, it has to have discretion.
He's not talking to the angel. He's talking about the angel here. Hamalach HaGoel, the angel who did save me. Okay, their understanding. He should bless the. That's it. The malach who saved me should bless the angels. He seems to be. He's asking. What do you mean? Why is he asking them to bless them if they don't have discretion? Why are you asking the angels who come on Friday night to bless you if they don't have discretion? It's not the...
They're messages of Hashem.
Okay, that's a possible understanding. That's not his understanding. Okay. Yeah. We're going to be talking about this for two or three days. And that what you're saying is another approach. That's not their understanding. V'kachazinan... And we see Malachim Shosim Ritzon Nevi'im V'Tzadikim V'Tkam Relei HaMalach Lalot Hinei Nasati Panecha. We find Malachim who do the will of Nevi'im and Tzadikim, like the Malach who said to Lot. Lot said, don't make me run away, it's too far. Let me go to that city Tzoar. And the Malach says, okay, I'm going to listen to you. I have, you found favor in my eyes, I'm going to do what you requested. Shema Minani Na Lo Rishut Lasot Kamash Yireh. That you see that the Malach had discretion to not destroy one of the cities. Hashem sent them to destroy five cities, and the Malach said, I'm only going to destroy four. I'm going to leave one of them for Lot to run away to. Similarly, he brings that Hashem told the Satan is a Malach, Hashem told the Satan, go do whatever you want to Eov, just don't kill him. Satan was given discretion to do as he wishes with Eov. Kigon v'rim elu mishishuel devarim malchei sharet kamarav ayishal dam shechav l'shon armi. These types of things. Now, how do we know what angels have discretion to do? I don't know. He doesn't say. But if you're asking an angel to do something that's in an angel's discretion to do, then you should not ask in Aramaic because angels don't understand Aramaic. This is how I would explain the Gemara. That's what he says. However, he goes on and says, we don't actually hold like that Gemara. Gemara says, don't daven in Aramaic because the angels don't understand Aramaic, and I'm telling you it means if you're davening to the angels, if you're making a request to the angels, don't do it in Aramaic because they don't understand. That's what the Gemara means, but that we don't actually hold like that Gemara, says Rav Haigon or Rav Shurigon or both. Ila miu kemaid chazelana kemaid shmielana lo chazina lo shmanam yolam demimnein rabbanam lemishal tzorchein moshenar mi. We've never heard that anybody, any Talmud Chacham, refrains from davening in Aramaic. And he brings some examples where we talk to angels in Aramaic. One of the slichos that they would say, Shomrei Sharim, Pitchu Sharim, those who open the gates, V'tishma Tzakat Yisrael Ashukim, so that the cries of the oppressed Yisrael can go inside, can be heard. That's in Hebrew. V'hadar Amrilei V'lashan Aramaic. And immediately we say this again in Aramaic. Natri Tari, Pitchu Tari, V'tishma Tzavchad Yisrael Ashike. That's a literal translation of the same thing. Those who open the gates, open the gates. Who opens the gates? The angels. So we're talking to them in Aramaic. And he says, in the Gemara, we find many conversations between Amoraim and angels in Aramaic. So he says, Shaminan, and he brings examples. And then he says, Shaminan mi'ilin shmata, di'ik amida shenitna reshut l'malchei sharet l'mevad. We see that there are things that angels can do, ki dechazu, as they see fit. And that you can talk to them in Aramaic. And so from these words of the Gemara, these stories that he brings about people talking to angels in Aramaic, and from things that we see all the time, we see that nobody holds like Rav and Rabbi Yochanan that you should not make requests in Aramaic because angels don't understand Aramaic. Gamrinan, we can infer the Pligi Rabbanan Leon that the Chachamim argue with Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, this is relatively close to the time of the Gemara too, so they still had a lot of oral traditions that have now been lost to us. But he says everybody, true, the Gemara says Rav and Rabbi Yochanan say angels don't understand Aramaic, don't make requests in Aramaic. Clearly, everyone else argues because we do it all the time. And what Rav and Rabbi Yochanan say is not even logical. Because there are angels who are appointed to write down man's conversation. How can they write down man's conversation? They don't speak Aramaic. It's not logical that angels don't understand Aramaic. They must understand Aramaic. Even though we don't know why Rav and Rabbi Yochanan said what they said and what their source was, just like our predecessors were not concerned with what Rav and Rabbi Yochanan said, neither are we. And so it's okay to make requests to angels in Aramaic, which implies it's okay to make requests to angels. And the reason is because there are things that angels have discretion to do. That's what Rav Haigon and Rav Shrier Gaon hold. It's nice to find a source for this in our Gemara. And the source is in Rashi's understanding, which we'll see is not the only understanding, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, where Rabbi Yochanan himself, the same Rabbi Yochanan, says, "Lo'olam yivakesh adam rachamim shiyu akol ma'amtzina kocho." Person should always daven that everyone should strengthen him, v'al yu lo tzarim mamala, and he should not have enemies above. What does that mean, that a person should daven that everyone should strengthen him? So Rashi says, "Shisayuhu malachei asharet levakesh rachamim." He should daven that the angels should help him daven. "V'shloyu lo mastim milmala," that there shouldn't be angels above who are speaking ill of him. "V'hachi mashma hayaroch shaveich," and this is the meaning of the pasuk in Iyov. Pasuk says, "Hayaroch shaveich lo betzar," when you will arrange your prayer, should not be with an antagonist. So Rashi explains, "Im bata laroch shavacha kazot tarcheu lo betzar," When you come to arrange your prayer, it should be in such a way that you shouldn't have antagonists and that everyone should strengthen you, which according to Rashi is referring to the angels. So one of a later Rishon is a Rishon called the Tanya Rabati, nothing at all to do with the Chabad Sefer Tanya. This is a much earlier Sefer. We don't actually know who wrote it. Someone named Rav Yechiel. There are different Rav Yechiels who are Rishonim, who are candidates. However, this Sefer was accepted in Italy in the time of the Rishonim as a Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. And it's a widely quoted Sefer in Halacha, even though we don't know for exactly who wrote it. And he says, Umatzati b'shem harav Avigdor Zal. I found the name of another Rishon, Rav Avigdor, she'ein b'zeh mishum shatev shim shomayim devar acher, that if you say machnisei rachamim, it is not davening to Hashem and something else. And he brings a proof from Rashi's explanation to our Gemara that it's okay to ask the angels, that not only it's okay, Rav Yochanan is saying, you should ask the angels to help you, to help your prayers go in. Midrash Shir Shirim, and he quotes a Medrash in Shir Shirim, which is not in our Medrash Rabbah. So whether it is a different Medrash that we don't know about it, or whether it was in our Medrash Rabbah at one time, and someone who had problems with this issue took it out of the Medrash, we don't know. But it's not in our version of the Medrash Rabbah. Al Pasuk Yishpati Etchem, on the Pasuk, I have made you swear. Omerit Knesset Yisrael Malachim. The Medrash says, Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, say to the angels, Omdim al Sharei Tfilav, al Sharei Dima, who stand at the gates of prayer and the gates of tears. Holichu Tfilati, uvidimati ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take my prayer and my tears before Hashem. V'tziyu melitze yosha lefanai, and be advocates for me. Shimchol li alza denot v'al shkogot. That he should forgive me for my intentional sins and my unintentional sins. V'ne'emar, and it says in Iyov, Yimesh alav malach malitz echad mini elef, if a person will have one angel advocating for him among a thousand. We see that angels are advocates. So what we see so far is that the Gaonim, it was common practice among the Gaonim to make requests from angels because they understood that angels actually have discretion in certain areas and you can ask them to act within their discretion. And we see that Rashi understands the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Daled, to be saying that a person should ask the angels to help him daven and help his tefillos be carried inside. And later Rishonim, the Rashash in the back of the Gemara, Rashash was in the late 1800s, he also cites, apparently he didn't see or forgot, this Rishon who says exactly the same thing, that this Rashi in Sanhedrin, Mem Daled Amud Aleph, is a support for the concept of saying machnisei rachamim, of asking the angels to take our tefillos inside. There is another opinion. That's Yerushalmi in Brachos near the beginning of Perek Tet, ninth Perek of Brachos. Yerushalmi, different printings, unlike the Bavli that has a standardized pagination, Yerushalmi doesn't. So you have to say, in the Vilna edition on page Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, because in a different edition it's going to be on a different page. Usually in Yerushalmi we just refer to the chapter and the halacha. Each Mishnah is called a halacha. So this is Perek Tet, Halacha Aleph, but in the Vilna edition it's on page Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. And it's a long Gemara that contrasts Hashem's powers to save a person from a human's powers to save a person, how Hashem does things differently than humans do them. So the Gemara says, Rav Yudan Amar Mishmei Didei, Rav Yudan says in his own name, Basar Vadam Yeshel Patron, if a person may have a patron, a human patron, Imbat Lo Eitzara, nevertheless, if a person's in trouble, Eino Nichnas Lo Pitom, you can't barge into your patron's house and say, help me out. You come and you stand at the door, the patron's door, you call his servant, you call a family member, and then he goes inside and says, so-and-so is standing at the gate. Maybe he'll take you in, and maybe he won't take you in. Hashem is not like that. If a person has a time of trouble, lo yitzaveach, he should not cry out, lo lemichael, velo legavriel. He should not call out to my gatekeepers and my assistants, Michael and Gavriel, and Farshim say, and certainly not to lower ranking angels. Ela li yitzaveach, he should call out to me, vani onelo miyad, and I will answer him immediately. So that is the Yerushalmi that seems to argue with our Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mandalat Amabet, or at least Rashi's understanding of our Gemara. So we will see several different understandings of the Gemara. It's also interesting that there are regional differences between which gets into interesting questions. You know, we have Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad, two very different. I mean, the main davening is pretty much the same. Sukkiyah Zimra is a different order, and a few words are different here and there. The main parts of davening are the same, but the extra prayers that we say on the Slichos that we say, very different between Ashkenaz and Sfarad. And it developed geographically. And likewise, this practice of saying Machnisei Rachamim and other forms of slichos that where we talk to angels also seems to have developed regionally. So could just be there's a machlokas between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, and some places adopted the Yerushalmi and some places adopted the Bavli. In Germany, France and Germany, they did say these Machnisei Rachamim types of prayers, and that's Nusach Ashkenaz. In Spain, they didn't say them, and that's Nusach Sfarad. We'll see differences between Ashkenazi and Sfaradi Rishonim to some degree. As far as Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem is approximately 700 years old. We don't know exactly who wrote it. And Rabbi Lubyansky's Siddur, Elios Eliyahu, where he, on the bottom of the page, gives the history of each part of the davening and where it came from. So Shalom Aleichem, he says, it's based on Gemara Shabbos Kufyu Tedem Ubet, the angels, the two angels who come home with you on Friday night. Right? Muskar b'sefer min hag tov. It's mentioned in Sefer min hag tov shmechabro chai b'tchilat elef anochi, whose author lived in the beginning of this millennium. So it's now 5778. So that would be about 700-800 years ago. Nidpasli Shonav Tikkunei Shabbat. It was first printed in the Tikkunei Shabbat, which is the broader name for all the Zmiros and other prayers that you say, or some people say in Shabbos Evel. Vayein B'Sidur Yavetz. Look in the Siddur of Rav Yaakov Emden. Siddur of Rav Yaakov Emden, who was a very independent thinker in many ways, lived in 1700s, died in 1776. He said he questions saying Shalom Aleichem. We'll talk about it more in detail. Among other things, he points out that it's full of bad grammar. And you say, Shalom Aleichem, Malachei Asherit. Peace or greetings to you, the angels who serve Hashem, Malachei Elyon, the angels above. Mimelech Malchei Malachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the King of Kings HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean from? So it could mean you are sent from, but it doesn't say that, like there's a word missing or something. So Rav Yaakov Emdin, who also, besides being very independent thinker, did not hesitate to speak in very sharp language. So he says, it's just bad grammar. Why would I want to say this? And he did not say the form of Shalom Aleichem that we have. However, the Jewish people have, I don't know if Sephardim say it, but Ashkenazim have accepted to say this. And there's also on Friday night a Ribono Shel Olam, a longer prayer that some people say. Most houses that I've been in do not. But also there we find places where we speak to angels in that Ribono Shel Olam on Friday night. So all of this will be, this is a sort of logical place to stop because so we've set the stage and tomorrow we'll just go in chronological order through Rishonim who say that this is idolatry and Rishonim who say this is a great thing and let's keep doing it. And we'll see. There's some repetition among different opinions, but a lot of different nuances. And so we'll just go through that and see what they say. And we will not come to any practical conclusion. The practical conclusion will be do what it says in your siddur or what your local Orthodox rabbi tells you to do. Have a good day.